We continue to look at our study in the early chapters of Acts, and we're in chapter 6.
For the Lord's work. I don't believe it's just the Lord's work, quote unquote, when you show up at the chapel. The Lord's work is from the time you get up to the time you lie your head down. The Lord's work is with your wife and with your husband and with your children and with the people of God in the assembly, with the people you work with at your workplace. It's all the work of God. You see how He covers all the different aspects of your life. Again, Colossians 3 is a place which talks about the different areas of your life. It's all the Lord's work. But as we get in the book of Acts, we see a lot of it emphasizing the things that go on in the local gathering. And, of course, that branches out into the home. So in this passage here, if you want to put your finger there once again, let's move over to 1 Timothy, and we'll see some descriptions about those that would be in this specific role as deacons. In 1 Timothy, chapter 3, moving on a little bit farther into the New Testament, Paul, writing to an individual here, instead of to a local assembly, in 1 Timothy, he's writing to his brother, his companion in the work. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll skip over, as our brother recently, one of the brethren had a series on the qualifications for those who would be the spiritual leaders in the meeting. That is covered in chapter 3, the first 7 verses. What we'd like to do is move down to verse 8. Because in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 8, you see it says, likewise must the deacons, the word for ministers, likewise must the deacons be, and then you see a list of things that's brought forth very similar to the things that the elders must be like. Now, there is one difference normally pointed out, that the elders are told to be apt to teach or have an ability to give the word to people on whatever basis, platform, one-on-one, Sunday school, somehow be able to rightly divide the word of truth and have an aptitude to feed the flock. Excuse me. But we see that's not specifically brought forth for the deacons. But let's read these things about the deacons. They're still to be godly people. Godly men. Look at this. In verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, that is money, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. It doesn't stop there. Verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, their slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we see there, it's a high calling, isn't it? We see that God points out here that they must be godly men. So having read that, we want to at least point that out so we would know where it's found, we would remember this, and as we go back and look at our portion in Acts 6, we have that in our mind. Now, as we consider these things, let's move on and again point out that what we're doing is one thing, is to point out the need for those to serve the Lord in various capacities, but what we're not doing is trying to establish what is often called a clergy-laity division. We're not trying to say, here is certain ones, and then the rest of the flock is here. We're not trying to say that. We see that as the spiritual leaders are told in 1 Peter 5, to be examples under the flock, not lording over God's heritage. So in a sense, as you can look at 1 Peter also in chapter 2, it tells us all believers are holy priests. All believers are royal priests. That means that we all have the access of worship. We all have the same access of witness before God. We are equal in the sense of our standing before God. It's just the fact that God has used different men and women with different spiritual gifts as far as your service. There's no clergy laity. There's no division among the people saying that there are some that are higher rank, if you will. There is, of course, the responsibility of the leadership. We would not want to forget that. But at the same time, we see that all of God's people are called brethren, brothers and sisters. It's in Matthew where it says, call no man father, call no man rabbi, call no man master, but ye are all brethren. And that's what we have in the Word of God. We all have an equal standing before Him, the one who has saved us and brought us into the marvelous life. Now, just if you're taking notes, let me point out where you can find the various gifts that are given out to the believers. 2:4 and 2:12, the best way to remember. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12. So if you were taking notes, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. Of course, you have to read through those and take them in context and see what we have, but there you see the various gifts in the body. Now, as we're considering Acts 6, we're seeing how ones have been called to be deacons or servants of God. Now, of those deacons, just like among the elders, you may have men that have different abilities or different gifts in that group of deacons. Some may be specifically good at being helpers. Some may be specifically gifted at being a giver. Some may be specifically good at being an encourager. These various gifts that we find in those passages that I just mentioned. And interesting enough, when you read these men, Stephen and Philip and these men of these first deacons, you find Stephen and Philip out preaching God's Word. Not that they were inapt in the Word of God because they were helping with the widows and serving tables. That's a good work, but doesn't mean they didn't know the Word of God. The next chapter, chapter 7, we see Stephen is stoned to death because he's preaching God's Word. These are faithful men we find that are deacons. As we see Philip also, he leads people to the Lord. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we see him leading people to the Lord in chapter 8. And then these other men are not mentioned very much in the Scripture, but just those two are tremendous examples. So in verses 5 and 6, we see how these men are mentioned. 7 men they chose out, and of those, it says that what they did in verse 6, it says that they had prayed and they laid their hands on them. Now, this is not in itself something that is going to bring any spiritual ability by just putting your hands on them. It's a point of identification. It's saying we have prayed and we are putting you into the work, so to speak, by identifying you. We have prayed and we are pointing out that you have been called to this work. It's not that anything spiritual of me is going to be given over to you. It's nothing mystical about putting their hands on them. But we see later on in Acts 13 that this was done when Paul, and no need to really go there, we won't spend our time there, but remember how when the apostle Paul, he had been saved, he was called Saul, him and Barnabas had come into fellowship there, I believe it was Antioch. And whenever they were of the five teachers in that meeting, it was the Spirit of God called them to go out and go on these missionary journeys and spread the word even farther. What did they do? We see over there that these ones got together and they prayed and fasted. And as they prayed, the others laid their hands on them and sent them out to the missionary journey, to the mission field, so to speak. So in a sense, it's an identification saying, we're with you, brothers. God, we feel that God has called you to do this. So in a sense, we see that in Acts chapter 6, as they saw ones raised up to be the deacons, if you will, in that early church. So as we consider these things, let's move on to verse 7. We have seen that there is a need. We see that they attempt to address the need. But look at the encouraging way that it ends in verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, when we think of the word disciples, of course, in the time when Christ walked this earth, before his crucifixion on the cross, there was the 12 disciples. There was a certain group that had been called out. But when we think of disciples in a broader sense, is those that follow the Lord, those, another term for those that are in the family of God, in a sense. We see that in the Great Commission, Christ, one of the last things spoken of in the Gospels was to make disciples. It says baptize, make disciples, evangelize to start with, give out the word. When they're saved, baptize them. And thirdly, disciple them. Make disciples. So that's something we all, in a sense, are in the process of doing as we grow, being made disciples of Christ. So as it says in verse 7, after they had done this, we see what happened. We see that the word of God increased. Why? Because we see how more people were involved, and people were taking an emphasis on their strong points, you might say. This person was working in this area, and it freed up the people over here to serve in this area. And we see how that works, doesn't it? I've been so encouraged as we look at the things on the schedule and the things we have been involved in. If you see ones that come quietly behind the scenes and are good and being great helpers, and you see others come behind and quietly, well, they might be encouraged to help give when there's a need, somebody that's in a tough spot or something. And they'll come along and may not be much said about it, but they're all fitting in their particular place, and, you know, it frees up others that may have a responsibility over here or what have you. Without calling names, I know that that's been a help with me. So often I'm on the road going here, going there, and speaking here and do this, and trying to study and get ready, and an unnamed person will often be there and make sure my car runs so I can get to these places, or make sure I can do my route, and this kind of thing. So you see how someone that's good at this area is helping in the ministry of this person, and vice versa, because then it frees them up to be able to serve the Lord. And in the same way, they're glorifying the Lord in their area of service. So we see how this is a family function. So when we see these things, we see in verse 7 that the word of God increased. You know, that's a really broad statement. We say, well, the word of God increased, but what is all behind that? You see all the saints working in unison in different ways, and you realize, well, you're doing this and they're doing this, but the end means is what? The word of God is increased. You may not be the one preaching, but you did your area and your thing, and the end means is the word of God increased. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 224-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour, zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads and Two Destiny Radio Ministry.